Okay, Boker Tov, I think we can get started. Welcome, nice to see everybody at class number 68, and we're finally moving on to a little bit of actual davening. Psukei Dezimra, as we know, is just a warm-up. If you want to mute yourself, it was, is midat chassidut, as we discuss, an act of piety. It's not even a rabbinic law, but of course, in many ways, it's more beautiful. Things we do on our own in general, people take minhagi much more seriously than they take biblical law. That's just, human nature, because minhagi is something your father did and your grandfather did and your grandmother did. So you got to do it exactly the same. No, what it says in the Torah, like everybody plays, a little bit loose sometimes. And people do get very excited about minhagi. It's whatever. But this is not even a minhag. The famous comment of Rabbeinu Tam, I think I mentioned, Danny Sperber quotes it in this, I think the opening page of his magnum opus, his fantastic 8-volume work on Minhagei Yisrael. He says, Rabbeinu Tam points out that Minhag spelled backwards is Gehenim, because fighting Minhagim, getting Minhagim wrong, whatever. It's anyway, so now we're going to start basically where this actually, most likely, the biblical obligation to say Shema. When we get to Shema in a few weeks, we'll start at Barchu, which of course is an introduction to Shema. It's generally assumed that saying Shema is a biblical mitzvah, although we will see that there are some opinions who hold it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. What do you mean a rabbinic mitzvah? It says, b'shachlucha uvkumecha, when you lie down and when you get up, you have to say this. Of course, if you look in the context of the Shema, that's not talking about saying Shema. It's talking about learning Torah. And you should teach your children. It's not talking about Shema. But be that as it may, we can discuss that a little bit later. But the mitzvah of Shema is the biblical mitzvah. And that's what Baruch Hu is, a call to prayer. But before we pray, we're going to say Shema. In other words, prayer is the Amidah. Shemona Esrei, as we mentioned many times, that there is, that's, everything else is a warm-up to prayer. Psukei Dezimra is a real warm-up just to praise God. Shema is, we want to say Shema before we daven. Shema is the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemaim. And before we say Shema, we don't just say Shema, we introduce Shema with two brachot. That's what we'll be discussing over the next number of weeks. Two brachot before, one bracha afterwards. And we begin with we welcome. Now we're about to start with Minyan, and we're going to pray together as a community. So we introduce that with Baruch Hu. Now Shema, assuming that Shema is a biblical mitzvah, Shema is the only mitzvah, I believe, the only time-bound mitzvah that applies day and night, right? Everybody want to, you get that? No other mitzvah applies either in the day and the night. Every other mitzvah applies either in the day or in the night. So the Mishnah in Megillah says a mitzvah that applies in the day, you can do all day. A mitzvah that applies in the night, you can do all night. And then the Mishnah lists off 25 mitzvot you can do in the day. Tkiyat shofar, taking the lulav, korbanas, mitzvah, many, many mitzvot. There are a few mitzvot at night, the ksirat omer, the counting of not too many mitzvot at night. The korban pesach, it's a mitzvah at night, but that's a separate mitzvah. But Shema is the only mitzvah that we say day and night, which is actually quite fascinating. And it probably means because we accept the yoke of heaven. Shema is the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. We accept it, quote unquote, differently in the morning and differently at night. Emet v'yatsiv, emet v'emunah. In other words, night is faith and the day is hope. But it is interesting that we accept the yoke of heaven, sort of, you want to say, in good times and bad times, in light and in darkness, which is how we begin. Yotzer or ubore choshech. God is the creator of light and God is the creator of darkness. And Shema, of course, has to be said in the morning and at night. Okay, anybody want to question what I just said to tell me why I'm wrong? I just said that Shema is the only mitzvah that applies day and night. Every other mitzvah is either during the day or at night. Nobody wants to challenge me.
Megillah?
You have too much faith in me. You have too much faith in me, right? Megillah, right. So that's what I was waiting for. So this Mishnah that I quoted, that everything that's in the day and everything is night, is actually a mitzvah, a Mishnah in Masechet Megillah. That's where this Mishnah appears. Kol hayom kasher l'kriyat ha-Megillah. The entire day is kosher for reading the Megillah. We're coming up to Purim pretty soon. And but the Mishnah makes no mention of Kriyat ha-Megillah at night. And there is no mention of mitzvah Megillah at night. That only appears later in the Gemara. In other words, in Mishnaic times, they did not read the Megillah at night. They only read the Mishnah in the daytime. And we know that the Mishnah, I mean, it's funny, sad, ironic. I don't know what the word is, but especially people are not so observant. Baruch Hashem, many people are not, who don't go to shul every Shabbos, come to shul on Purim. No, Purim's fun. Great. That's wonderful. But many of them come at night and they don't come in the day. You know, it's sort of easier. And, but the reading at the daytime is much more important, which Gemara does emphasize. But, Kriyas HaMegillah at night is really only a custom that developed later. But the real Mikra Megillah is in the daytime, and that's where the Mishnah appears. Of course, Tefillah applies day and night, but that's also not really true because Tefillah is not a time-bound mitzvah. We daven three times a day, but according to the Rambam, the mitzvah daven once a day. You can daven whenever you want, wherever you want. It's not a time-bound mitzvah, which is one of the two reasons women are obligated the same as men in prayer, right? One, it's not a time-bound mitzvah, so there's no difference between men and women. You can daven anytime you want. But the rabbis say daven at specific times, but that does not make it a time-bound mitzvah. And B, even if it would be a time-bound mitzvah, the Talmud explains that women are obligated because prayer is mercy. What you don't want to pray for mercy. Men and women need mercy equally, so therefore it's the same. But Shema is the only mitzvah that, unless you can think of another one, that biblically applies both at night and in the day. Any time-bound mitzvah. Okay, so we begin with... Yes.
Most of the Ten Commandments apply day and night.
No. Of course, the mitzvah not to talk lashon hara.
Applies day and night.
Right. Of course. No. I'm talking about mitzvot that are dependent on time. In other words, yes, of course, most mitzvot apply all the time. To give staka, a mezuzah, all these mitzvot, they have nothing to do with time. But a mitzvah that eating matzah, blowing the shofar, you know. Sitting in the sukkah even only applies at night. Eating matzah, be'erev toklu matzah. The obligation to eat matzah is only the first night, not 7 days of, there's no obligation to eat matzah. So every mitzvah either has a time slot, korbanot have to be done in the day, right? It means ksirat ha'omer has to be done at night. There's no mitzvah that you have the same mitzvah you do day and night. If you take the lulav at night, you don't fulfill. If you do a brit milah at night, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah, a brit milah. Whenever you have a mitzvah by time, so it either has to be done in the day or in the night, because in Judaism, day and night, we live in a world where we've sort of, you know, day and night don't mean what they once meant. Because we put lights the same way the cold, as we were talking before. So it's 20 below here now in Toronto. But Baruch Hashem, we're very lucky. We all have heating in our house. We don't feel the 20 below. So we don't feel the night. We put on lights. People used to go to bed at night. I mean, that's why people used to wake up at the crack of dawn and they used to go to bed at night. Well, what are you going to do at night? So we have brought the night into the day. But in the Mishnah, night and day are very symbolic. Are we way at the beginning? Abraham davens, you know, Shachrit. Yaakov davens Mariv. That's not a coincidence. Yaakov is running away from Esav. He's fear. It's a nervousness. That's Mariv. Abraham is davening hope. You know, that's is Shachrit. And Yitzchak is Mincha, contemplative. But night and day are very different. That's what I said. The acceptance of God, the Kabbalat Ol Malkut Shemaim that we do in Shema, we do it twice. In other words, we accept the yoke of hell of heaven in the daytime and we accept the yoke of heaven at night. But symbolically, those are very different acceptance of the yokes of heaven. Okay. I hope Zeb that answers the question. Okay. Let's get on to, Baruchu. Okay, so we say Baruchu twice, right? We say Baruchu every day before to daven. By the way, I'll just throw out the question. We say Baruchu at Shachrit, and we say Baruchu at Mariv. We don't say Baruchu at Mincha, right? So clear. Just without knowing anything, it appears Baruchu is related to Kriyat Shema more than it is to the Shmon Esrei, because Mincha, we have the Amida also. What unites Shachrit and Mariv is the Shema. So apparently, and Baruchu, as some point out, Baruchu is only said when you're going to say biblical verses. The Amida is a rabbinic, the rabbis made up the language. We'll see it in a number of weeks. When we get there, it's based on a lot of biblical expressions, but the verses of the Amida are not verses in Tanakh, clearly. But we say Baruchu is a call to prayer, or called maybe more accurately to Kriyat Shema. And when else do we say Baruch Hu? Of course, we say Baruch Hu when you have an aliyah to the Torah. What's the difference between the two Baruch Hus? So it's the same words. It's the same way I said before. We say Kriyat Shema twice, but it's different. The Kriyat Shema in the morning and the Kriyat Shema at night, they're not the same Kriyat Shema. By the way, even Tehillim, you're not supposed to say at night. You're not really supposed to say Tehillim at night. It's at the daytime thing we do. But what's the difference between Baruch Hu? So you see, what is Baruch Hu? Baruch Hu is a call to prayer and a call to learning. Torah leading, when a person gets an aliyah, the Baruch Hu is, we're calling the congregation, it's communal learning, right? There's a mitzvah to learn privately, and there's a mitzvah to learn as a community. So every Jew has a mitzvah to learn every day, day and night, as we'll see. It ties into Shema. Hopefully we'll get there later on today. But there's also a community mitzvah to learn as a community, and that mitzvah is fulfilled by Kriyat HaTorah that we do Mondays, Thursdays, and mainly on Shabbos mornings. So Baruch Hu is the call for prayer and learning. I've mentioned in the past, of course, Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful, beautiful idea. Really, you have to listen to it. A 2-hour shiur, I can listen online on the difference between prayer and learning. We've mentioned this before, that they're contradictory mitzvot, that prayer requires naivete. It's total a submission to God. And Torah learning is it's critical thinking, it's independence, it's not accepting anything, it's questioning everything. It's total independence versus total dependence. And as Rav Soloveitchik explains, only a child can pray and only an adult can learn. And he's not talking about ages, only a child who understands or totally dependent, an infant cries out to the mother, can't do anything on their own. That's prayer. We pray like a child, but to learn like a child would be terrible, just to accept what the teacher says, that's not the way to learn. It's become, I think, unfortunately, a way to learn for many people. Just whatever the rabbi says, you agree. That's not how we learn. We question. Tosfot doesn't accept Rashi, and you don't accept your Rebbe. And Rav Soloveitchik would always love. A great teacher encourages people to question and to man. So learning and prayer are really two opposite mitzvot. They're contradictory mitzvot in many ways, which is why it's hard to do both well. That's why in the Lashon, in Shaul Stamper's book, they used to daven, that's what he writes, that the memoirs from people who learned in the Lashon, they used to daven Shacharit in 20 minutes. It's like the 6 o'clock minyan in the morning, you know, people got to get to work. They weren't interested in davening so much. They wanted to learn davening, you know, whatever. It's not, but that's learned the same things over and over again. And in the Hasidic world, they weren't so into learning, but they were into davening, singing. That's for hours, davening. So these are really opposite. And of course, for Soloveitchik, if you want to know where to find it, I don't know where it is exactly online. I heard it on a cassette. You remember those things? Remember we used to have a cassette? You drive in the car, you know, two wheels, two little things. So Rav Soloveitchik was talking about this on the Chaye Sarah, that Sarah was 127 and all her years were equal. So that's the Rav said. She had the innocence of childhood throughout her entire life and the maturity of an adult throughout her entire life. That Sarah was an adult and a child at the same time. But we say Baruch Hu both to introduce prayer and to introduce learning. Now, they're very different in another way, not the way Rav Soloveitchik just explained. Of course, prayer is universal. It's a universal call to prayer. Everybody prays. Prayer is a ki beiti beit tefillah yikarei lechol amim. The temple, as Yeshayahu points out, as we mentioned many times, is a house of prayer for all lechol amim. All nations are welcome to come and pray, and all nations are welcome to bring korbanot. Adam yakriv michem. The beginning of Vayikra, man who brings a korban, and we know korbanot and prayer, they're not exactly the same, but they are related. So this is these are universal ideas. Service of God is universal. Whether you don't have to be Jewish, we welcome non-Jews to service God and to come to pray to God. Learning Torah, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim V'Natan Lanu Et Torato Bachar Banu. He chose us. We're unique. We're different. And you know, there is in theory a prohibition for non-Jews to learn Torah. So the Baruch Hu of learning and the Baruch Hu of prayer are very different, universal. And of course, what's the theme of the Baruch Hu prepare Yotzer or Uborik Hoshe? God is the creator of the world. That's a universal theme. There were no Jews when Adam is not Jewish. So just you know, just very interesting to point that out, I think. Now, what happens in Shema, in Bracha Kriyat Shema, is we begin to switch. The first bracha is universal. Yotzer Or Uborei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uborei Et Hakol. We'll get there in a moment. And then Hameir La'aretz, etc. The second bracha, Ahava Rabbah. God has tremendous love. Ahavtanu. Hashem Elokeinu, talking about us and the Jewish people. And the second bracha, of course, is on Talmud Torah. The first bracha is about creation. The first, second bracha is about Talmud Torah. As Jonathan Sachs, I said many times, but it's not his original idea. I saw it in the Tibina. I've seen it in a lot of places. Creation, revelation, redemption. The third bracha is Ga'al Yisrael before Shmon Esrei. The first bracha is Yotzer HaMo'arot. God creates, the creator, creation, revelation. God gave Astorah, redemption. Those are the three sort of pillars of prayer. So even in Shema, even in Birchat Kriyat Shema, the Baruch, we begin with a universal theme of creation, but then we, just like in the Torah, Adam, and then eventually we move to Abraham. We move to God chose us. Asher God chose the Jewish people with love. And then we say Shema, and of course Shema is also a sort of a very unique idea to Jews. Yes, we believe there's one God for everybody, but the Shema, the mitzvot of the Shema are very Jewish, so to speak. So you have the transition from the universal to the particular, as we say, the Birchat Kriyat Shema. Okay, now there it's interesting. I'll just point out. Let me point this out now. We say, Baruch Hu Atah Shem HaBarach, blessed is God. So I'll just let me point out just something cute. I don't know, cute is the right word, but I wasn't sure I was going to do. Okay, let's see, where are we going here? I can't get to my sources because the pictures are blocking it. Hold on a second. I don't know why I had to move this. Okay, there we go. Okay, the Mishnah in Brachot. So the seventh chapter in Masechet Brachot talks about Birchat HaMazon. Of course, the first chapter, Birchat HaMazon, we'll talk about that later. The first chapter, of course, talks about Shema. The Mishnah begins with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, just like our davening, so to speak. Baruch Hu, the call to daven, begins with Shema. And so too, the Mishnah begins with Shema, but we'll go that at another time. The seventh parak talks about Birchat HaMazon. So how do you bench? How do you say, so with three people, you say Nivarech. If they're more than three, you say, Baruch Hu. If they're 10, you say Eloheinu, Nivarech Eloheinu. If you're more than 10, you say Baruch Hu. Whether it's 10 or 10,000. And then the Gemara quotes a different opinion, and they go through. If you have 100 people, the benching changes. You don't say Hishem Hashem Yivarech, you say Nivarech Hashem Elokeinu, or you say Elohei Yisrael. By 10,000, you say Nivarech Hashem Elohei Yisrael, Elohei Tzvaot, Yosheh Kruvim, etc. And then everybody answers. So that's what the Mishnah says when you bench, that you would change, at least according to this opinion, you change Birchat HaMazon depending on the amount of people you have. And then the Mishnah concludes, Amar Rabbi Akiva. No, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Ma matzinu bebeit haKnesset. What do you find when you go to shul? Echad merubim v'echad meutim. Whether you have a few people, we have exactly a minion of 10 men, or you have 5,000 people, like the shul in Alexandria, where they couldn't hear in the back. They had to wave the flags to let people know when to answer Amen. You say, Baruch Hu et Hashem. You always just say Baruch Hu et Hashem. You never change it depending on how many people are davening. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Baruch Hu et Hashem hamvorach. Rabbi Yishmael says, they say Baruch Hu Hashem Mivarech, which of course we follow. So you already see there's a debate in the Mishnah when you say, what are the debate? Blessed is God, who is blessed, right? So some say because that's the Chazan, including himself, but whatever it is, it's just you repeat sort of the Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Hashem is fine. Blessed is God. Blessed God who is blessed. Well, obviously God is blessed. So that's the debate. You have to say Baruch Hashem and Baruch Lelam Bad. Now it's interesting. I don't exactly know why. Maybe somebody can help me. Why would we, why by Birchat HaMazon would we change it by the amount of people, but not in davening? So I was thinking about that when I, this Mishnah sort of the bar just came to me like last night, and I was thinking about it. I don't have an answer. I don't know if people discuss. I'm sure it is discussed, somewhere. Why davening You wouldn't, everybody agrees. You just say Baruch Hu no matter how many people. I was going to say it doesn't matter. Once you have a minion, who cares? 10 people, but that's not true because we have a principle, Barov Am Hadrat Melech, that the king is glorified with, is beautified. Barov Hadar, Priya Tzadar. The beauty of the king is Barov Am. When Jews come together, you shouldn't have 6 million. I don't want to talk practical, theoretical. You're not supposed to have a shul with 8 minyanim. Today, every big shul has 8 minyanim because that's the way we are today with the Jewish people don't know how to unify. What can I tell you? But when I grew up, I don't think any shul, you know, if you remember, I'm sure in your shul, I don't know where you're daven, but I can guarantee you in your shul 30 years ago when they started the Hashkama Minyan, the rabbis were all against Hashkama Minyan. It's divisive shul. That's not wrong. And then you have this minion and that minion. It used to be the Jewish people davened in 1 minion and you needed permission to open up a shul, right? Rav Yaakov Emden famously had to get permission. He didn't want to daven in Rav Yonatan Eibshitz shul. He thought Rav Yonatan Eibshitz was a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. He had to get permission and the community was happy to get rid of him, let him daven in his own house. So he had permission to have 10 men come to his home and daven. You couldn't in Europe. Rav Moshe Feinstein has so many tshuvas about this and nobody pays attention. You're not allowed to open up a shtiebel, whatever you want to call it. Can't open a competing shul because that's going to economically harm the big shul. If 50 members go to start a new shul, how are they going to pay the rabbi and the chazan? So Rav Moshe Feinstein is a lot true about that. I don't want to discuss it like practically, but this is what Judaism teaches. Maybe I do want to discuss it practically. I don't know. But okay, in today's world, whatever, for better or for worse, that's the way it is. If you wouldn't have 8 minyanim in the shul, you'd have 8 shuls. So it's better. I agree. It's better to have 8 minyanim in one shul than eight shuls. It'd be nice. I don't know. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, everybody come together. And the Elah, I don't know. I don't know if any of these shuls do that. Do any shuls sort of ban some of the extra minyanim like Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? There's something beautiful. There is a concept, anyways, of Barov Am Hadrat Melech, that it's my greater glory to the king to daven together as a group. And that's really the essence of a minyan. So it's not true that whether there are 10 people in shul or 100 people in shul, it's the same. It's not the same. It's better to daven in a shul with 100 people. Yeah, you can maybe sometimes give counter factors. You know, I can't daven, it's too noisy. You know, they have an Israeli flag. You know, that's the famous tshuva for Moshe Feinstein. The people wanted to break away from the shul because they had an Israeli flag. So Rav Moshe writes, of course, the Israelis, the Zionists were anti-religious and were terrible and blah, blah, blah. They took the Moroccan Jews and made them all religious. That's tragically true, you know. But having an Israeli flag is not a good enough reason to leave a shul. You have to understand, Rav Moshe wasn't a Zionist in the way we're Zionist, the modern Orthodox. It was a different way. And Rav Moshe said, that's no reason to break away from shul. They take away the mechitza. So that Rav Moshe would say is a reason to start a new shul. Okay, whatever. So there is something beautiful. And that's what Baruch Hu is. It's communal prayer. The more people to daven, Barov Am Hadrat Melech. It is hard to know how exactly you should apply it in today's world. I think it is having youth minyanim is important and having minyan, all kinds of things are important. And if there are 1,000 people, you can get lost. And I don't know the answer. But anyways, there is something. And you see by Berachat HaMazon, when you have a big meal together, you praise God in a slightly different way. Okay, that's just, if anybody has any thoughts, feel free to share them with me or maybe to throw stones on me or something. Okay, anyways, but it is important to note we come together as a community. Okay, so let's start. So Baruch Hu introduces us to Shema, which is introduced by the two brachot, creation, universal, and then revelation. Ahava Rabba, God loves us, Talmud Torah. Okay, but what's missing? And what do we used to say? What did we used to say in the original Siddur, before the Siddur was printed, before printing presses, before that's very late, but before the Rav Amram Gaon, the first Siddur in the 9th century, original Siddur in the temple, how did they daven? They did daven in the temple, as we're going to see in one moment. What was the davening in the temple? So why don't we take a look? Anybody want to know what's missing? If you're composing,
Korbanot was
missing. We said Korbanot already. That was 48 weeks ago we discussed Korbanot. That's the beginning of the Siddur. We do say Korbanot. Whereas in the temple, they didn't have to say Korbanot. They did Korbanot. So what's missing? So let's take a look. The Mishnah.
Shir HaMa'alos?
I'm sorry?
Shir Hamalos?
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, I skipped Shir Hamalos before. When we get to Rosh Hashanah davening, we'll do Shir Hamalos. Right. We do, that we do in between, Yishtabach and Baruch Hu during, you know, Aseret Yemei Tshuva and, et cetera. So here, Amar Lahem, so the Mishnah Tamid, Masechet Tamid talks about the Korban Tamid, the daily, that's, the daily, work in the temple. Unfortunately, when people learn Daf Yomi, I hope people realize when you learn Daf Yomi, you're learning less, much less, maybe a third of the Mishnah. Like the Mishnah, which is the basis of the Gemara, it's basically the Orla, is composed of six orders and 4,200 and something, 4,220, something like that, Mishnayot. When you learn Daf Yomi, the 37 Masecht, of the 63 Masecht, only 37 of them have Talmud. So you're right away missing 26 Masechtot, but you're missing much more in the Mishnah. You're missing most of Zeraim. You're missing all of Taharas, except for Nida. You're missing really a lot. Tamid actually does have Gemara on it. So Mishnah Tamid describes the daily work in the temple. There's a beautiful Mishnah to learn. I think, whatever. I'm big, Mishnah Yomid, I think it would, people, whatever, would gain a lot. They'd get a much broader, knowledge, and they'd be able to maintain their knowledge if you learn Mishnah. But anyway, Amar Lahem HaMemuneh. The appointed one. We have that same expression in Yuma, where the Gemara talks about the work, the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on the temple. It's the same idea. I mean, there it could be in Tamid that mission, but it's in Yuma, which half of Yuma talks about the service on Yuma, most of Yuma, when it half, 7/8 it talks about the service in the temple. So Barchu Brachachat, make one blessing. Behem Barchu, they said Barchu. Karu Aseret HaDibrot. Ooh, Aseret HaDvarim. They said the Aseret Dvarim, which we call the Aseret HaDibrot, Shema, Vahayim Shamoa, Vayomer. Baruch Hu Am Shalosh Brachot, Emetz V'Yatziv, Avoda, that's what say. It wasn't, it's a little bit different, but you see the contours of our prayer. Ubirchas Kohanim, Ubashabbat, Mosvim Bracha, L'mishmar HaYotzei. They would add a special bracha, it's not Tzilat Musaf, for the Kohanim, they would switch the order. So they used to say, it's clear from the Mishnah in Tamid, they used to say, Aseret HaDibrot, the Aseret HaDibrot in the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Mishnah continues, they did the Ketoret. Okay, very nice. So what happened? So now we're going to go to a Gemara in Brachot. The Korin Aseret HaDibrot. So you read the Aseret HaDibrot. Shema, Vayam, Shemoah, Vayomer, Met, V'yatziv, Avodah, Berchas, Kohanim. That's how we daven. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, this now we're in the set. Well, Shmuel is the first generation of Amoraim. Shmuel is living in the 3rd century in Naharda. In Bavel, Rav and Shmuel are the founders, really, Rav primarily, but Shmuel too, are the founders, really, of Torah in Bavel. They're the students of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rav comes from Bavel, goes back to Bavel in the year 219, and he establishes the yeshiva in Surah. Shmuel establishes the yeshiva in Naharda. Then they have a fire thing. They opened up Pumpedita. Okay. So, at Begvulin. Begvulin means outside of the temple. Big Shulak Lekroken. They also wanted to read the Aseret HaDibrot outside of the temple. Ela Shekvar Bitlum Mithnei Taromet HaMinim. That, but we already, no. You're out of it. Didn't you just see in the newspaper? They made an announcement. We're not allowed to say it because of Taromet Haminim. What's Taromet Haminim? The grievances of the heretics. So what's the grievances of the heretics? We'll get there in a moment. Tanya Nami Hachi. We learn furthermore. Rabbi Natan Omer. Bigvulin Bichulak Likrokein. Rabbi Natan says, he's later. They wanted to read it in the outside temple. Alashakvar Bitlu Mithnei Tarona meaning. But no, the rabbi said, because of the heretics, we can't say the Aseret HaDibrot. Then the Gemara continues. It's a really strange Gemara. Rabbi Barbrachana Savar Lamikvar Basur. Rabbi Barbrachana, the next generation, he wanted to establish it in Surah, the yeshiva that Rav had founded a few generations earlier. Let's say the Aseret HaDibrot. Amar Le Rav Chista, so Rav Chista said, Kvar Bitlu Mithnei Taromet HaMinim. We don't allow you to say it because of the heretics. Gemara's not finished. Amemar Savar, Lemikvu Minahar. Amar said, let's read it in the Harda, the yeshiva that Shmuel had founded. No, Rav Ashi said, you can't do that. Kvar Bitlu Mithnei Taromet HaMinim. You see, there's this tremendous desire. There's this tremendous desire to say, to say the Aseret HaDibrot, clearly. Wow. Why is there such a desire? What? I see four times. Like, that's amazing. They want to say
that's the base of our nation.
Because that's what we're going to read next week. We're going to stand up in shul.
Yeah.
That's the base. It's as the Rambam says. It's the most important part of the Torah. There is a reason God revealed himself with these 10 statements. You know, I always like to joke. Everybody knows how the 10 commandments is not, it's a mistranslation. It's in the Torah, it's Aseret Hadvarim. Right. The 10 statements. There are 14 commandments in the 10 commandments, right? Who's buried in Grant's tomb? You know, how many commandments in the 10 commandments? Because, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he counts 14. Or let's say on Shabbat has two. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat to make Kiddush and don't do melacha. By the way, the mitzvah from Kiddush only Friday nights, but I started night and daytime. I make Kiddush in the day. No, that's rabbinic. The biblical obligation to make Kiddush is only on Friday nights, not on Saturday morning. And that's why the Kiddush on Friday night is much longer. That's why we allow you to make Kiddush for those who want to make it on schnapps, not on wine, a little bit. It's not a big deal. It's just a worry for you. Agapen. But anyway, the Aseret Divrot is really important. It's the most important. It's the statement of the basis of our religion. So what's Tarom? So why didn't they allow it? So everybody wants it. Who are these heretics? Who are the heretics? So why don't we just
name the Christians?
Yeah. So who cares? So we care what. So why we can't read it because of the Christians? Why?
Well, the first century they were intermingled with the Jews.
Okay, and therefore.
And they sometimes used to daven. There were Jewish shuls and Christian synagogues in the first century.
That's why we have the Lamal Shinim. That's why we have the Brach for the heretics. But what does that have to do with the Aseret Hadibrot? That's very nice.
That they claimed them as the basis. And there was some sort of controversy about us elevating it and standing up for it even was a big thing, whether you would stand up for it when we read it in shul on Shabbat next week.
Right. So the Rambam.
We needed to downplay it as a response. Right.
Okay. So let's see. Good. Okay. So even the Rambam says it's the most important. Why is it not going? The Rambam says it's the most important, but he's the one who says you cannot stand for the Aseret Hadibrot. You know, according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to stand for the Aseret Hadibrot. Let's see if it's here. Okay. Why? So it's Rashi says, very simple. Shelo yomru lamei ha'aretz. Not because of the Christians, not at least according to Rashi. Ein shar Torah emet. You know, don't give me this like kosher stuff. You know, I keep the Ten Commandments. I don't, that's important. We don't want people to say, the ignorant people, that the rest of the Torah is not so true. The rest of the Torah is not so important. But they do, she'en karim ela mashamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shamu mipi b'Sinai. And we are only going to say what God revealed himself at Mount Sinai, the really important stuff. The other stuff, it is less important on some level, but we don't want people to think it's unimportant. So here, okay, it's interesting. Here Rashi says, meaning our Amei Haaretz, which implies they are Jews. And we're concerned. We're concerned. The idea was Jews would come to shul. In other words, they're coming to shul. They're not knowledgeable. They may not be so observant, but they come to shul every day. And if they read every day in shul, the Aseret Hadibrot, they would think not so important. The rest of the Torah is not so important. Here Rashi says akum, which implies non-Jews. Okay. That's the classic explanation that they, we don't allow the Aseret Hadibrot because we're afraid people will give it too much importance relative to the rest of the Torah. And that's what the Rambam says. You're not supposed to stand for the Aseret Hadibrot. We, of course, do stand. I mean, those who are Ashkenazim, the Sephardim, I think, if anybody here on the call is Sephardic, please let me know. They do not stand. I believe they follow the Rambam, but Ashkenazim, because it is more important. Bottom line, you know, it's this, we don't want, okay, we're not going to say it every day. When we read it in shul, we can stand. There is something special about the Aseret Hadibrot. But now I want to show you an amazing commentary. It's like mind boggling. Ben Yehodaya. This is the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai was the most important Sephardic posek for 100 years. He lived in Baghdad in Iraq. I believe he died in 1909. I could be off by a few years. You can ask Rabbi Google. And he was the most important Sephardic posek until Rav Avadya Yosef came around and Rav Avadya Yosef made away. I don't want to say he did away with the Ben Ish Chai, but he did away with the Ben Ish Chai. He went back to the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Avadya Yosef believed and Rav Avadya Yosef felt that Ashkenazim in Israel have to follow the Shulchan Aruch. And when you lived in Poland, you can follow the Ramah. But in Israel, the Rav Avadya Yosef, the Beit Yosef, is the posek for Ashkenazim and Sephardim. I don't have to tell you the Sephardim didn't accept that view. So, but the Ben Ish Chai was a really, really important posek, one of the greatest who ever lived of the Sephardic posekim. So his comments, he wrote a commentary on the Agadic passages of the Talmud. So he quotes, I just think it's so wild. Okay, Rashi says what he says. He's not wrong, but I'm going to give you another explanation. Nirali, it appears to me, b'siyata d'shmaya, taromet, with God's help that I'm right, taromet haminim, the complaints of the heretics, shayu korim tagar al Yisrael, they would complain to the Jewish people. Every day you come to shul and you say the Ten Commandments, the Seret Dibrot. You make a bracha before it, right? Yotzer Or, it would be part of the bracha. You say Shema. Wow, it's really important. But you don't keep them. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You come to shul every day, you say the Seret Dibrot, and you don't keep them. Right, Akab. These are things we step on with our heels. Who keeps the Ten Commandments? That's interesting. We use God's name in vain. I don't know. Do we do that a lot? I don't know. Whatever. Lotignov. Okay, that we do a lot. We people steal. Lotachmoa, that we do even more. We're jealous. People don't honor their parents so much. That's what he says. The Taromet Haminim, I think it's so wild, is that we were afraid that the Jews would be accused of hypocrisy by the Christians, perhaps. It could be meaning our Christians will get there. The not observant Jews. What are you saying? I said, I do business with you. I know what kind. You're going to come to shul, put your talus over your head. I know what you're like in the business world. Don't give me this stuff, your talus over the head. You know, work on your business practice. So that's what he said. I think it's such a powerful comment, maybe a very tragic comment, but he says that was the complaint that we got to be consistent in what we do. It's kind of like the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Kashim gerim li Yisrael kisapachat." Converts, this is not such a nice Gemara, right? You don't, they're converts. We'll see in a moment. Converts are difficult for the Jewish people. That's what the Talmud says. The Gemara in Kiddushin, I believe. So Tosfot has seven explanations. What does this Gemara mean? You know a rule, whenever there's seven explanations, the famous, the Nechama Leibowitz rule, whenever there are two explanations in Rashi, means neither is great. Because each one has a problem that the second one solves. If one explanation could solve the problem, you wouldn't need a second explanation. We have seven explanations. You know, we don't know what the Gemara really means. But the Gemara seems to say something negative. It sounds negative. Converts are difficult to Israel. So Tosfa quotes Rav Avram Hager. I think that's his name. So Tosfa quotes a convert, a rabbi convert, had an explanation on this Gemara. It's so beautiful. So he says, what's his explanation? Converts. Ooh, you know, converts, they take their Judaism more seriously than a typical Jew. They came to it on their own. Yeah, we're born into it. You know, we can come late to shul and we can talk and shul, we can do this. You know, we're like, what do you want? It's a burden sometimes. But converts, they love Judaism. They converted. So the converts are much more meticulous in their observance of Judaism. So when converts convert, it makes us look bad. So it's a kind of a similar thing. I find that just a very interesting explanation. Okay, why did so many people want to say this? So this, Debbie, what you were saying about the Christians. So this I heard from Rabbi Wayne Allen, who's a colleague of mine at Chat, was actually he's really one of the leading he was a rabbi here for 28 years, a scholar. So he told me the meaning probably refers to Christians, and there were very few Christians at this time in Babylonia. And therefore, all these rabbis who say, we don't have to Roman Haminim, we don't have to worry about it. In other words, they all wanted to go back to the original custom of saying the Aseret Hadibrot, But that couldn't be done. So once it got established, even though the reason may not have applied, the rabbis were hesitant to apply back. And of course, so it is interesting. That's, I think, is it printed? No. No Siddur in print. Does anybody have a Siddur that prints the Aseret HaDibrot at the end of Shachrit? I seem to remember there used to be some Siddur that printed that. If you want to say at the end of Davening, Nunu. But anyways, okay. Now, let's do another fascinating Gemara that has a, well, they don't say the Aseret HaDibrot, not so fast. Not so fast. Let's take
Excuse
a look.
Excuse me, the Art Scroll Siddur has it right after the Davening, after Shachrit.
Okay, good. The Art Scroll Siddur. Okay, that's it. If Art Scroll has it, it must be, you know, that's good. I'm looking now, I'm going to quickly look at the RCA Siddur that, you know, I use that not so many people have. Let me see if they have it. I don't think so. I have Aleinu, Shir Shel Yom, more Shir Shel Yom, lots of Shir Shel Yom. Amirat Lachar HaTfilah, the six things we have to remember this, of course. Oh, yes, here it is on page 204. Aseret HaDibrot. I guess I never get that far in my Siddur. What can I do? I'm very concerned about the meaning, whatever. I've never said it after davening, but it's a beautiful idea. Maybe I'll start saying it. But, you see how much the rabbis wanted to, but there was a pushback. But it's not so simple. I mean, it is simple, but it's, the story's not over. Okay, let's take a look at the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, and often, you know, practices were different in Israel than in Babylonia. So the Mishnah, you know, the Talmud Yerushalmi is much shorter, but it begins the Mishnah. We have this Mishnah in the Bavli too. B'shachar mevarach shtayim lefanav achat lechareha. In the morning, we take two brachot, Yotzer Or, Bocher B'mo Yisrael B'yava, before Shema, and one Ga'al Yisrael after. Be'erev at night, it's two and two. Right, Hamariv Aravim and Oheva Mo Yisrael, and then Gaal Yisrael and Shomer Mo Yisrael. We'll get there. Okay, two and two. One's long, one's short. Okay, that's a matter. Rav Simon Shem Revi Shimon Bar Nachman Amar. Why do we say two brachot? Why do we say this? My question, why do we say Bircha Kriyat Shema at night and in the day? Every other mitzvah is only in the day and night. Hashem Bahageta Bo Yomam Belaila. This is actually fascinating. This is a pasuk in Yehoshua. We read it on Simchas Torah. This is the obligation. You have to learn Torah day and night. It's talking here. I'll show you right here. Pasuk in Josh Yehoshua. Lo yamush sefer. This is the charge to Joshua. Moshe has just died. This is chapter one. Yehoshua, be strong, right? Moshe said, we keep the Torah that you did. Lo yamush. This Torah will never cease from you. Mipicha from your mouth. Bageta bo yomam v'layla. You should have the Torah day and night. So, that's where the idea of coming to learn Torah day and night comes from. Whatever that verse means exactly, maybe we'll see. So the Yerushalmi quotes that not so much as learning Torah as Kriyat Shema. And we said, right, Shema is Kriyat Shema. It's not the learning Torah, it's accepting the yoke of heaven. We have to do that day and night. It's important. Sheyeh hagiat yom v'layla shavim. I got to say Shema equally in the day and the morning. Okay. Rav Yosef, Rav Ivan, B'shem Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Hashem Sheva v'yom hilaticha. I bless you seven times. We know seven, the magic number in Judaism, number of completeness. We have to say seven blessings before Shema. In the morning, two and one, and in the evening, two and two. That's seven. Seven, like Shabbat, like Shemitah, like everything. That's the way we come to worship God through the number seven. Okay. And then the Gemara says, Kol ha'makayim sheva b'yom hilaticha. If you'd say seven, you fulfill the mitzvah of Ageta Bo Yom HaValayla. It's as if you have read the Torah day and night. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Mipnei ma korim shtei parshiot halalu b'chol yom. So you see something very interesting. They only had apparently two paragraphs in the Shema. Why do we read these two parshiot? I assume that's talking about the parshiot of Shema. We have three parshiot, but you know, there was a debate. Shema Vayam Shamoa are very different than the one on Tzitzis. More wonders. Why do we say Tzitzis as part of the Shema? But you see, the two primary paragraphs are Shema Vayam Shamoa. So Rabbi Shimon Amar, Mipnei Shekatu Vem Shechivav Kima, because both the first and second ones say B'shochvucha Uvkumecha, whether they're talking about Torah or Shema, right? That's said in the first, second, and second paragraph. The third paragraph does not say Shechivah. You say it when you go to bed and when you wake up. That's only in the first two paragraphs. Apparently in the Yerushalmi, and they only said two paragraphs for Shema. Okay, now here's our answer. That's for our purposes. Rav Levi Amar, Mipnei Shaseret HaDibrot Kluli Bahem. You know why we say Shema? It's the backhanded way to say the Aseret HaDibrot. Because the Aseret HaDibrot are included. It's such a, wow. How many people sort of were aware of that? If you ever open up a Sephardic Siddur, not Nusach Sephard, Eidon HaMizrach. So I think they usually have printed in the Shema by the words that we're going to see which one of the Aseret HaDibrot goes through the Shema. But this is, I think, a really powerful Gemara. So let's quickly go through it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God. Okay, that's parallel Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. That I think is quite obvious. I'm the Lord your God who took you out. Here, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay. Lo yelecha Elohim acharim. Don't have other gods. Hashem achad. Also makes sense. There's one God. Lo tisa. Do not take God's name in vain. So that's interesting. Vahavtat Hashem Elokecha. Loving God. You have to love God. You don't misuse the name. Man derachim malka lo lishtabe bishmei mishak. One who loves God. When is the prohibition really applied to taking God's name in vain? That's probably only when it applies biblically, is in a court of law, when you take an oath with God's name. So if, and you lie, you say you're not truthful in your oath. So one who loves God, man derachim malka, one who has loves the king, lo lishtabe bishmei mishakar, will not swear in his name, lo tisa shemekar, and lie. Okay. Zachor yom shabbat lekadsho, remember the shabbat, leman tizgeru et vasitim mekol mitzvotai. This, so here already, it's interesting. This already is the third paragraph. So I don't know how to resolve that, this idea, because leman tizgeru is the third paragraph of the Shema, but they, okay, maybe they said the third. It wasn't important. I don't know. We have to look into that. Rabbi Omer, zu mitzvah shabbat, shehishkula keneka kol mitzvah tatorah. It says, leman tizgeru v'sidim kol mitzvotai. Remember all my mitzvot. What's all my mitzvot? Shabbos. Shabbos is equal to all mitzvot. Zachor, it's got the same word, but as the Rabbi says, it's not just the same word, it's the same idea. All the mitzvot, zachor, leman tizgeru v'sidim kol mitzvotai. I think the right, it's that way you say, v'itim to the, what's the problem? You know, I never know it out of context. Leman tizgeru v'sidim, right, that kol mitzvotai. Kol mitzvotai is Shabbat shkula. Okay. Dichtiv et Shabbat kochcha. Okay. Okay. Lodicha shehishkula, connected, it's equal to mitzvot. Kaved et avicha v'edimecha, maybe I should ask you, where's kaved et avicha? Leman yirbu yamechem v'imei b'nechem, you should have long life. Because remember, kivud avim is one of the very, very few mitzvot were promised long life. So when the Torah says, the Shema says, leman yirbu yamechem, that's a reference to kaved et avicha. Lo tirtzach, don't murder. You'll be destroyed. You'll be exiled. Exiled, many people were killed. So the lucky ones were exiled. The unlucky ones were killed. You'll become the land. Man dekatel mikta. One who kills will get killed. Lo tinaf, don't commit adultery. Lo tatur, acharei levavchem. Don't go after your heart and your eyes, you know, desire and, fulfill inappropriate desires. Okay. Leva ve'ena trace your surrey, right? That's the famous Gemara. Your eyes and your heart are the two causes of sin. You know, you see and you desire, etc. Okay. Lo tignov, don't steal. Go to work. Vasapta tiganecha. Right? That's the famous Gemara. Vasapta tiganecha. You have to work. Go gather in your own grain. Don't take the grain of other people. Interesting. I think it's very fascinating. Lo tignov, going to work. And the Gemara says, whoever doesn't work, whatever father doesn't teach their child how to work, a trade is teaching him how to steal. Because if you can't make a livelihood, you're going to cheat on your taxes. You're going to cut corners. You're going to do all kinds of things. So you have to earn a living. As one of my teachers in yeshiva told me, this based on this Gemara, you have to go to college today. You have to go to university. Because in today's world, it's very hard to make a good living without going to university. When the Gemara says you have to teach your son a trade in every generation, that means you have to teach him a living. Okay. Lo taneh v'reicha et sheker. Do not swear falsely. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Wow. I'm the Lord your God. So right away, this reminds me of and Hashem Elokeichem emet. And God is the God of truth. The Talmud says, Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. The signature of God is truth. The essence of truth, Moshe emet, the Torato emet, God is is truth. So do not give false testimony. That's in the Hashem Elokechem. Ma emet, what is emet? Shehu Elohim chayim u'melech le'olam. Okay. And then the Talmud says, Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One blessed me once said, Im he adeta lechavrecha etut shaker, if you give false testimony, ma'ane ani alecha ki'ilu he adeti alai shalop rati shemaim v'aretz. It's as if you're saying, I did not create the world. One who lies is denying the essence of God. That's what the Gemara says. When you're lying, God is truth. It's as if you don't believe God created the world. Very powerful. Lo tachmod, do not be jealous. Beit re'echa. V'chtaftam ha-mezuzot beitecha. Lo tachmod beit re'echa. Right. What does it mean? Well, where's that in the Shema? V'chtaftam ha-mezuzot beitecha. Beitcha v'lo beit chavercha. It's got to be in your home. Be happy with your home. Don't be jealous of what other people have. So this is the Talmud Yerushalmi saying that the reason we say, it's not that we're saying Shema. Yeah, Shema is nice. But we're really saying the Aseret HaDibrot. The reason the rabbis picked the Shema, I'm presumably, I don't know, I have to look further. I haven't really learned the Yerushalmi. But presumably, this Yerushalmi is of the opinion that saying Shema, as I alluded to earlier, is only a rabbinic mitzvah. When we come to Shema, maybe we'll discuss that at greater detail. But there is actually opinions quoted in the Bavli that saying Shema is only a rabbinic mitzvah. So presumably, because otherwise, why do we say Shema? Because it's a biblical mitzvah. So the reason we say we chose these passages, the rabbis chose these passages, because the rabbis wanted to get in the Aseret HaDibrot, and presumably either they weren't worried or this doesn't cause Taromat HaMinim because it's indirect. So I thought that was just a very beautiful idea that you see. But that's the original davening. Baruch Hu, we're going to daven. So in the Beit HaMikdash, appears in the Beit HaMikdash, they did say the Aseret HaDibrot. It was before the Minim. They weren't worried about the Minim. We know other times they were worried about the Minim, the Beit HaMikdash. They ended a bracha me'olam v'yad olam, right? They changed how you say a bracha in the temple, because Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that's the last Mishnah in Brachot. You say, blessed is God, the master of the world. And the Minim said, oh, there's only one world. So they said, they made a decree, you should say, min olam v'yad olam. Bless Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, min olam v'yad olam. We don't do that anymore, or I don't know if we ever did that. But they said they had to make the bracha min olam v'yad olam to teach that there are two brachot. So they were worried in the temple about the minim, but somehow they weren't worried on this aspect with the Aseret HaDibrot. And it could be because there was a real tension. On the one hand, the rabbis really, really did want the Aseret HaDibrot, as every generation. This one wanted to do it. That one wanted to do it. They really wanted it. On the other hand, you know, I get it, but we can't do it. So by getting it in through Shema, that's how they finally did that. Okay, so let me just do, so it's 10:23, we'll just introduce Yotzer Or with one idea. Maybe I'll leave you with a question, then we can pick up, please God, next week. Okay, so Baruch Hu, great. And we say Baruch Hu Hashem HaMivorach. We follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Everybody answers, Baruch Hashem HaMivorach L'olam Ba'ed. God is blessed for everybody. That's blessing God. That's what Jews have to do, calling on God's name. Then we say, God is the creator of light and darkness. We'll discuss maybe next week, Yotzer and Bore. What's the difference? Why Yotzer and Bore? Aren't there similar words? Oseh Shalom, he makes peace and he creates everything. Bore HaKol, of course. And that's how we end the bracha. HaMeir, Meir Larch, Yotzer Amorah, because the beginning and the end have to be the same. Where does this bracha come from? Where does the language of this bracha come from?
Gracious.
Bereshit.
But it ends Bereit Hara, not Bereit HaKol.
That's correct. So where does it come from? There is allusions to creation. They said the whole bracha is on creation. But this phrase, Yotzer Or Uvorech Oseh Hoseh Shalom Uberei Ra, we changed Ra to Kol, is a pasuk in Yishayahu. Okay, great. I knew it was a pasuk in Yishayahu. I et chata'ai ani maskir hayom. I admit my sins. I never looked it up in where I was in Yeshua, but okay, now I have to teach it. So I have to look it up. So I look at Yeshua and I fell off my chair. I couldn't believe it. Does anybody know the context of the Pasuk? So I'll show it to you and that's how we'll pick up with next week. It's like, to me, it's astounding. Okay. Let's go here. Let's share our screen one last time. It's a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek 45. Here it is. Yotzer Or Borei Choseh, Choseh Shalom, Uborei Ra. Ani Oseh Hashem Kol Ha'olam. So here already we got another problem. Problem we've addressed many times. We haven't fully sort of addressed all the resolutions to it. We only say half a verse here, right? You're not supposed to say only half verses. We say Yotzer Or. And by the way, there's no Baruch Atah Hashem. Like, we invented that. We took this pasuk and we attached it to a bracha. Okay, so that's not now. What's the context? So go to the beginning of the chapter. The context. Ko Amar Hashem leMashicho. God said to His Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. Right, that's what it means. The Koresh. Wow, Koresh is the Anointed One. Koresh, Cyrus the Great. We're talking the 6th century BCE. What's the problem? By the way. When did Yeshayahu live? Yeshayahu lived the 8th century.
Way before Koresh.
So, of course, this is one of the pieces of evidence, whatever you want to call it. We won't get into it now, that there are two Yeshayahus. You know, that's it. And by the way, without getting into it now, and I'm no expert in this at all, but I will tell you that at the Hildesheimer Rabbinical Seminary, that the great modern Orthodox, whatever you want to call it, modern, you know, Bezriel Hildesheimer in Germany. So that when they taught Yeshayahu, they assumed, I think his son taught Yeshayahu, they accepted the assumption that there was more than one prophet. I don't know why people get so, I'm not saying there is, when people get so upset, there's no, like, it's not heretical. I remember David Berger once told a joke, you know, the Bible scholar at YU and the scholar in Jewish Christian relations. So David Berger, when I was in YU, he once told a joke. They asked, you know, how guys in yeshiva don't learn any Tanakh, they learn only Gemara. So he asked somebody, what do you think of Yeshayahu, two Yeshayahus? So he takes out a Tanakh, he says, okay, there's Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beit, and Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beit. He looks in Yeshayahu. There's no Yeshayahu Aleph and no Yeshayahu Beit. Okay, but stay there. Anyway, so God is talking to Koresh, and he says Yeshayahu is prophesizing whatever, and God says you're gonna be, you know, this great king, and you're gonna open up the doors, and this then gates are not gonna close, and you're gonna I'll open everything for you. Leman teda. So everybody should know that I'm God who calls out. Leman abdi Yaakov. And you're doing it for the sake of the Jewish people. And I'm going to give you a great name. Cyrus the Great. That's what we call him. Ani Hashem Einod. Zulati. I will help you. Even though you haven't known me. V'lo yidatani. Leman yedu. I want everybody to know. It sounds like the Eser Makot. God wants Paro to know. Everybody, Mizrach Shemesh, from the east to the west, the whole world. The Epis Biladai, there's nobody like me. It really does sound like the Eser Makot. And the Hashem, Einot, there's nobody else. Koresh, you're going to be the one to teach the world. You're going to welcome the Jews back to Israel, and you're going to teach the world that there's only one God, Yotzer Or, Uborei Choshech, Oseh Shalom, Uborei Ra, and the Hashem Kol Oseila. So that's the context of this bracha. So we have to pick up, why in the world, you'll tell me please, God, next week, why in the world we say this as the bracha? Why did Chazal, it's like, pick this of all things to introduce Birchat Kriyat Shema? Okay. Okay. Let's just do a quick review. Okay. So we discussed that, Baruch Hu, we say that Shema is the one mitzvah we say day and night. And, other mitzvot are either during the day or during the night. Megillah was only a custom say at night. And tefillah, davening, is not really time-bound. You can say davening whenever you want. And we have two baruchus, the baruch Hu for Shema, the baruch Hu to prayer, which is universal, and creation is universal, and the baruch Hu before Kriyat HaTorah, which is very, very Jewish, Asher Bachar Banim, Mikol Amim, and only Jews can theoretically learn Torah. And that theme will get picked up in the second bracha before Shema. We will transition from the universal, from creation. And I see somebody asked, it's right, the three themes. We said the three brachot are creation, revelation, and redemption. Yotzer Or is creation. Ava Rabbah, God chose us through Torah's revelation. And redemption, Gaal Yisrael. Now, then we talked about, we spoke about the difference between prayer and learning. And, you know, and then we spoke about, prayer. You have to be young, independent, totally give of yourself. You have no independence. You're totally recognize the authority of God. And of course, when we learn, it's total independence and critical thinking. Then we discussed the Aseret HaDibrot, why this is the cornerstone of our religion. It is very important. That's, we do stand. There's something special but Mamar Har Sinai. It's true that we're afraid there's the tension between the importance of the Aseret Dibrot, but not minimizing the rest of the Torah. And because of that, the rabbis decided we can't say the Aseret Dibrot, even though they said it in the temple, and they tried generation after generation to get it back. And they said, no, Kfar Bitnu, we don't say it because we're concerned that people will take the Aseret Dibrot or we'll take the rest of it less seriously. And then we saw the very interesting commentary of the Ben Ish Chai that, no, we don't say the Aseret Dibrot. It was, you hypocrite, you Jews. You don't honor your parents, but you're so honest. You don't steal. What are you saying the Aseret Dibrot for? Give me a break. Of course, both are true and both are very relevant. But we said we got in the Aseret Dibrot, the Yerushalmi says, I don't know if we're going to say through the back door, but we do say the Aseret Dibrot, the Shema, the Yerushalmi claims the Shema was said in order to say the Aseret HaDibrot. That's why we say Shema. It's not so much the Shema, it's we're saying the Aseret HaDibrot. And we talked about you have to have the seven brachot before and after, the night and the day, right? It should be the same night and day. We praise God, we accept God through darkness and through light. And then we just left off with the question, very nice, this verse Yotzer, we'll have to discuss why we changed it from Yotzer Ra to Yotzer HaKol. I only say half a pasuk, and most importantly, why we're picking something from Koresh, that Yishayo prophesizing whatever, what Koresh is going to do, or God picking Koresh. Why is that sort of the introduction to Yotzer Or? Okay, just let me see if any questions here. Modern lighting is great, but engaging ritual like prayer and living with the rims of nature, yes, are essential. That is correct. We've lost our sense of nature. Yeah, correct. It's, we live very, what can we say? Right. There are people live by nature. They heard the rooster crow in the morning. That's when they knew they could daven. They didn't have clocks. You didn't have that. By the way, that's why, that's why we measure a kazai today. What, how much matzah do you have to eat? You don't have to eat an olive. You have to eat a kizayit, like an olive. Like an olive is not an olive. Who cares? A little more, a little less. Nobody measured things. Life wasn't scientific the way it was today. You ate a kizayit, something, the approximate size of an olive. Nobody sat there with a measuring cup, how big it is, besides the fact that the kizayitim have grown. But, today, you know, to the inch, because that's how you lurk. The 14 inches, are you going to go for it in the Super Bowl? And on the airplane, the little piece, everything, you know, we go and, you know, the company missed its earnings by 1 cent, and the Apple, I heard, missed its earnings, had a big earnings miss yesterday. So I don't know what's going on in the stock market now, but I assume Apple's shares are dropping because I don't know. They only made $80 billion instead of whatever, how many billions of dollars they used to make. I don't know what the numbers are, but, anyways, so we today live in a very regimented, everything exact, but it used to be lived by nature, and we didn't know when sunrise is. Who doesn't fatigue, and you never knew. That's why with the Gemara makes a big deal. You daven batik and you daven rent it. How did you know to get the Shemona Atzeri at sunrise? You never knew exactly when the sun was rising. That's why Rav Nachum Rabinovich, I think, says, batikin, as long as you're within 8 minutes, it doesn't matter. Batikin doesn't mean exactly sunrise. How can you know exactly sunrise? Today we can know exactly sunrise, but never in the time of the Gemara. Okay. Creation, redemption, right? That's what I said. Revelation, asking privately what the word men, or why the word men for composition of minyan? What does it mean exclusively men? Yeah. We can talk another time. Yes. A minyan for reasons where we haven't touched upon yet. It's a very important question. Why do women not count towards a minyan? I think it is a question we should try to address. And, okay. Thank you, but not for now. Important question. Okay. You don't have to apologize. Birnbaum. Oh, Birnbaum does. So everybody has the Aseret Dibrot in the back of the sitter. I don't know if Corin does. I don't have my Corin sitter. I'm curious.
Yes, it does. Corin does.
Okay. Everybody has it. I guess you got to read to the end. Okay. Where's the Yerushalmi? Yeah, the Yerushalmi is Perak Aleph Mishnah Hay in Masechet Brachot. Do we know what or the order of the Ten Commandments would be said before or after the Shema? I have to look up in the Gemara again. Yeah, probably whatever it says there. Brachu bracha achad. I think the Aseret Dibrot was before, but I'll look in a second if they said it before. Yotzer or Bori Ra. This is contra, correct. This is, well, that's, thank you, Bina. This is contra Zoroaster, absolutely. That there are two gods. Yeah, the light and darkness. So we'll pick up on that next week, that we wanted to emphasize day and night, both in the morning and in the evening. Okay. Thank you very much. Very good. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or criticism?
There's one other interesting place in Dublin where we do to avoid the Sarah Kennedy book. Do you know where it
is? I'm sorry, there's one other place in Dublin where we do what? There's too much background noise. I can't hear. Other people are talking. If you could close your computer, not your computer. Okay. Marty, now hopefully I can hear you. It got quiet.
There's another place in Dublin where we should make a reference to the Sarah book, but we don't.
Is there another place in Dublin where we should? Is there, not that I'm aware.
Yes. I was taught this. It's very interesting. You're going to say it tomorrow in the Shmona Esra for
Shmona Esra for Shachrit. Yeah, very good. The Shamar B'nai. Ismach Moshe Matan Chalku Yechem Eved Naman Karata Lo Kli Tver Broshona Tatalom Abdo Lavan Arch Nai Ushnei Luchot Avanim Hori Biado Bechavuvem Bechatuvem Shemirat Shabbat V'chein Katuv B'Torah Tachem B'Sham B'nei Yisrael Shabbat. So there we only mention Shabbos. It's not about the Aseret HaDibrot. It's this. It's that how Shabbat happens to be mentioned in the Aseret HaDibrot. So where does Shabbat come from? Which is, by the way, is very interesting because on this week's Parsha, Rashi already notes on the game to Mara, we got the Shabbos before the Aseret HaDibrot. Okay, that's a medrash, you know, but I think it's actually quite interesting. We begin this very good, Marty. We begin on Shabbos morning, but that's not about the Aseret HaDibrot. It's about Shabbos, which was in the Aseret
HaDibrot.
And we mentioned, right. And then we mentioned the Aseret HaDibrot of Shabbat. Which is, by the way, the Aseret HaDibrot in Beth Chana, not the Aseret HaDibrot in Yitro. That's just interesting there. They say Bishamru, not Zachor, you know, but, anyways. Good. I don't know if there are any other allusions to the Aseret HaDibrot in our Seder, but I did. Yeah.
You don't get what I'm saying. It's Rishamu is not from either of the Aseret HaDibrot.
Right, it's Shamor. It's Shamor, right? It doesn't say
Rishamu. Okay.
Right, this is Kitisa. The Pasuk Rishamu, I think, is from Kitisa. Yeah, I have to look up. Yeah. That's, So that's very interesting. Why they would? I never thought of that question. Why wouldn't they quote directly from the Aseret HaDibrot? They don't want to. Maybe we're so opposed to the Aseret HaDibrot in Dhamni, we won't even quote it there. That's a fascinating point. I have to think about that. Right? We don't quote the Aseret HaDibrot. Yeah, that's interesting. Let me just look very quickly in my Seder. By the way, I did look up if the Mishnah in Tamid lists the Aseret HaDibrot before Shema. So apparently they said this Aseret HaDibrot before Shema. So just let me know, I'm a Shabbos davening. It's amazing that we say this stuff every week, and you know. Okay, Yismach Moshe, yeah. Shmot Lamed Aleph, Hashem Reneh, V'chein, Horib Behem, U'shnei Luchot Avanim Horib Biyato. Moshe comes down with two tablets. V'chatu Behem, the Shmirat Shabbat, V'chein Chatu B'Tor Techa. So you would expect they would quote from what it says in the two tablets. We don't do that. Says Vishamar Bnei Shabbos. That's a pasuk. That's, I never thought of that question. Thank you very much. I have no idea why. I have to look into that. Why in the world wouldn't they quote unless it's what we're saying? They were so averse to mentioning Aseret HaDibrot and Tefillah, they won't even mention it when we're sort of, you know, talking about Shabbos. Yeah. Thank you for that. I don't know. I have to look into that.
I was taught that was the reason for it.
I'm sorry. That was the reason. And when I said, okay, very good, okay. I never realized it before, even though that's why I have to teach this class, so I can really focus on the davening. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
So can I say one thing? Last week when you finished up, talking about Yishtabach, you mentioned something about the 15 expressions.
Yes.
So I You know, I was thinking, you know, when we say Birchas HaShachar in the morning, there are 15 brachas.
Excellent. Yeah, I didn't mention that last week. Correct.
And also in B'yatzeh V'nochem, right after Kriyat Shema, is 15 also.
Thank you very much. Right. I just mentioned Dayenu, the 15 stairs in the Beit HaMikdash, the 15 Shir HaMalot. Right. But correct. 15 Birchas, and we mentioned the 15 words in Birchas Kohanim. But correct. 15 words, 15 in Birchas HaShachar and 15 Emeth Yatzim. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. You have to think now, what's the connection? So what is 15 all about? So that's in it. Now you have to think a little bit more. Right. We know what seven's about. We know what four. What's 15 about? You know,
I think just from Birchas Kohanim.
Right. It clearly has to do with, right. Clearly, all these are blessings of God in the temple, singing the praises of God. Birchas HaShachar, correct. That's Emet V'Yatziv, the many attributes of God, the songs of God. Yeah, that's clearly the what we're talking about. Sure. Yeah.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And don't forget our new class next week is Moshe Sokolow is back on the Chalutzim, the Songs of the Chalutzim Tuesdays at, I think Tuesdays at 11, if I'm not mistaken, but you'll check it out. And okay. We look forward to seeing you next week and meet a friend, and everybody have a Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy the weather wherever you are. Be thankful that we have heat in our house, but if you want some nice fresh air, come to Toronto, 20 below. You'll enjoy the fresh air. Nice, sunny, beautiful day, 20 below zero. Ah,
only... Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay. What's it like in Ottawa, Annie? What's the weather like in Ottawa? I'm sure it's colder than here, no?
29 tonight. Minus 29 tonight.
Yeah, you'd be Ottawa beach Toronto. We can't compete with Ottawa.
I don't know who's going to get to shul in the morning in this weather.
We're warm in Toronto. I'll go to Ottawa if you want cold. It's also closer. Ottawa to New York is closer than Toronto. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Be well. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.